you look like you're doing. Express yourself.
That's right. We're here on Express Yourself. Happy Pi Day. I heard it was Pi Day because it's March 14th, 3.14. I have not seen any pie yet, so if anybody has pie for me out there, I'll be at KD&K until 5 o'clock. welcome to Express Yourself here on KD&K Radio. Express Yourself airs every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. and brought to you by the Carbondale Creative District, preserving the creative ethos of Carbondale through advocacy, support, and action. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and here on Express Yourself, we feature all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. Be sure to stick around for an interview with mixed media artist Kirsty Steiner, whose solo exhibition, Where the Wild Things Live, is up now through April 4th at the Carbondale Arts Gallery. Towards the end of today's show, we'll catch up with members of the Aspen Choral Society, whose performance of Children of Eden kicks off next weekend. But first, we've got some special guests here who are part of an exhibition at the Carbondale Clay Center for their high school invitational show called Perspectives, and they celebrate an opening reception this evening. All that and more coming up on Express Yourself, so don't touch that dial.
Express yourself. Express yourself.
All right. Thanks again for joining us today. We have some guests here in the studio. Let's just go around and say your name and maybe if you're a working adult person, where you work, and if you're a student, maybe what year you are and what high school you go to. I think I've got your mics turned up. Let's start with Matt Eames.
Hey, everyone. My name is Matt Eames. I'm the operations manager at the Carbondale Clay Center.
Thank you, Matt. Maybe Kim, you want to go?
I am Kim Carpenter. I am the pottery teacher, amongst other things, at Roaring Fork High School.
Perfect. Thanks, Kim.
Hello, listeners. I am Candace Samora, and I am a senior at Roaring Fork High School.
Thanks, Candace. Thanks for being here.
I'm Ramona Bennis, and I'm a sophomore at Roaring Fork High School.
Excellent. Thanks so much for taking time today to come chat on Express Yourself. I know there's a opening reception tonight, which is exciting. We have a show called Perspectives, which is the 2025 High School Invitational. It includes students from Basalt and Roaring Fork High School, and we're lucky enough to have some students and the Roaring Fork High School teacher, Kim Carpenter, here. Thank you for being here. I'd love to start off with Matt Eames, the Carbondale Clay Center Operations Manager. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about the history of this invitational program? I don't know how long it's been going on with the high schools, like how many students are involved and what is your role like working with students and teachers?
Thanks, Brian. So this is the second iteation. We started this, in 2023, through a conversation with Danae Statzer, who is the, high school art / ceramics teacher in Basalt. We've worked with a couple different schools throughout those years. We did that in the 2023 exhibition. And then this time, you know, having gone through it one time, we were like, let's see how we can kind of mix it up, change it up, but also engage a little bit more. So we're definitely taking a few more steps in how I'm interacting with the schools. So we started off with planning the exhibition, setting up the dates and all those different things. Then we did a in-person critique at the end of I want to call it a semester, but that's may not be accurate in high school, end of the year. And then
Kim says, yes, semester.
And then we did a curatorial process and then we have the opening, but we're doing two openings, and I wanted to schedule time with each school, but also different students from the schools, so they could do their little artist talks and stuff. So we're doing 90-second artist talks from four different students this opening tonight. And then I have four different students that are doing another version of that on April 4th for the First Friday opening. So we doubled up on openings so that we can really engage more students. And yeah, so we've been interactive throughout this whole process, and there are probably like in total, I think there's like 12 from Roaring Fork High School, and there's probably about 20 or so students from Basalt.
Wow.
That are in the show.
Yeah, so, it's a big group show.
Yeah.
Dang.
There's a lot of different works.
So this is kind of like every other year, like a
biennial sort of thing. Biennial.
That's great. How did this idea get started? Was it just a desire to work with younger artists and kind of get their exposure to the gallery scene and also with the Clay Center, I imagine?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. It was an idea that was thrown out of like, how can we as the Clay Center engage in some of the parts of the community that we don't always do with the gallery, or that we're not always, you know, active as much with? I mean, high school is kind of a hard age because they're too cool for school anyway, right?
So, well, and you're doing so much in high school. You're right. Taking all the classes all the time, right. And to have time set aside for art making is incredible.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, but we were really excited when the idea was brought to us to do an exhibition, and I think there's so much that comes with that. It's such a kind of forward-thinking idea of any student who is interested in art, who's getting their toe wet in that, like, might be really enthused by the idea of an exhibition. And that's something that, you know, as a professional artist, many of us do throughout our careers, but don't have as many opportunities in high school. So we wanted to give that back to the community and then see kind of how that fostered and what the engagement was. And I think it's been actually phenomenal. So,
yeah, that's such a great way to have that engagement and to start, you know, with students and get them involved. Yeah. Kim, you've been an art teacher for a long time.
Yeah.
I think 12 years.
Yeah, going on 12.
Wow. Can you get closer to the mic?
Yes, going on
12. Perfect. What's your background like? Are you primarily a ceramics instructor? Do you teach all different kinds of media in the school?
Yeah, I teach all different kinds. This is actually the first school that I've gotten to just have a pottery class.
Oh, cool.
So I've kind of done what Danae has done, where I've introduced it into different classes that I've had. But most of the high schools that I've taught at have been larger. And so there's, you know, I am a drawing and a painting teacher, and that's pretty much, you know, what I would teach. And I'd introduce it maybe to like an art one, like a entry level class. It's been phenomenal. I honestly think it's become one of my favorite things to teach. It's always been something I've enjoyed doing, because it's one of the few art forms I feel no pressure. Like, I love making it as much as I love smushing it, as much as I love firing it. And so it's fun to walk them through that process and maybe help them see and sometimes a less stressful way of creating, which is really fun.
Yeah. Has there been a clay program in the school, or is that something that's kind of new?
Yeah. No, there's almost always been a pottery class.
Okay, great.
And this next year we fought really hard to keep it.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't something that was guaranteed. And as soon as there was a chance that we might lose it, I threw a large hissy fit about it. And
that's good.
We just got a grant and just got a pug mill in there. And I'm looking forward to building that program. Hopefully
that's
eventually
wonderful.
We get an advanced class.
Yeah.
If kids keep coming back for it.
Yeah. And what's it like getting to work with your students towards an exhibition like this? Does it change how you or the students approach making the work, knowing it's going to like a gallery show versus just making work for like a letter grade or for just personal improvement?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it definitely changed the order in which I was teaching. A lot of like the throwing projects we're doing now, simply because, you know, I wanted them to be able to get kind of those bigger pieces done in time for the show. In none of my years of teaching or even art making, other than my senior exhibition, have I been offered a space. And so to be able to go through like a legitimate professional process, you know, that has a contract and has dates and artist statements and bios and photos. It's been very cool. And I mean, you guys could speak for yourselves with that, but like for me, it's been very cool and rewarding to see you guys investing at Carbondale Clay Center into the community and into the students. I think it's an experience that they're never going to forget.
Candace and Ramona, let's talk about your experiences with this show. Can you tell us just first what you created for the exhibition? What's on display over at the gallery there? Don't be afraid of the microphone. It's your friend. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
My project, I've basically only done one project this whole year because it took forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bust, basically, like a ceramic portrait, and I started it in August, and I finished it like a week ago when they came to take the pieces.
Yeah.
It took me forever, and I love it, and it was like such a challenge working with such a big piece of clay and finding out different ways to present it. Within like a pottery class, I love it so much because I'm like such a mixed media artist that I didn't glaze the piece at all. I painted it, I added jewels, I made my own jewelry for the project.
Many layers going on. How big is this portrait and who is it up?
It's about like a foot and a half wide and like maybe a foot and a half to 2 feet tall.
Wow.
It's really heavy.
Yeah, clay can get heavy for sure.
It also has a separate piece, a crown, because like my project, it's a portrait of a queen. I based it off of two different queens in European history, Queen Elizabeth I and Queen Victoria.
Wow.
Both of which I kind of admire. And I really, really enjoyed adding aspects of them and their character into that piece.
Wow. Yeah, I did go see the show a few days ago, and there's some incredible work, but that one I remember just because I think portraiture is hard in general, and to do that in clay is something that's impressive as well. Yeah, way to go. Nice work, Candace.
Thank you.
How about you, Ramona? What did you make for this gallery exhibition?
I'm pretty sure the two things in there were a lantern I made, which I carved like a floral pattern into. So that when the light shines through, there's flowers.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And then the other one being a pot that has like three fingers on it has some mixed meanings, I suppose.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing with, meaning and context and conceptual art. That's great. Either of you participated in shows like this before? What's it like been working with the Clay Center, with Matt here, receiving critiques and advice for like your ceramic work that you're creating? Okay. Has it been a positive experience? Remember, you're on live radio. Just kidding.
I would say it has been a positive experience since I've never done a show like this before. It's very interesting to learn about.
Yeah, kind of a different angle on presenting your work. Yeah. How about you, Candace? It's been good? A good experience?
Yeah, for the most part.
Challenging?
I'd say it's very challenging just for that piece specifically, but I love the whole like professionalness that went into this. Like, I don't know why, it's just helping me become more adulting in my senior life.
Yeah, as the senior in high school. I did have a question about that because, Candace, you are a senior. Ramona, you're a sophomore. Can you talk about why you decided to take ceramics this year? Is it something that you think you'll continue to work in clay in the future, like after school for you, Candace, or further down the line for you, Ramona? Is that something you want to continue like in the arts at all?
For me, I've loved art like a long time, and I am pretty sure I'll continue to do so. I am debating taking a mixed media class in college wherever I go.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. How about you, Ramona?
I've always had an interest in ceramics. So when I was choosing classes in eighth grade, I specifically chose how to get to a pottery class where I had to take art one first. And then I've also taken past classes at the Clay Center.
Perfect. Back to Matt and Kim. What has the process been like just curating a student invitational exhibition like this for the Clay Center? I don't know how that process works, if it's juried or you're inviting students who are in the classes already. Are you accepting all the works that you receive? And then you're curating, I guess, for the space at the Clay Center Gallery.
It's pretty collaborative between Kim and I. And not to say it wasn't with Danae and I, but it's all three of us. We're collaborating pretty well.
Sure.
The process on my end was I left it up to the teachers as to how they wanted to approach their students. It is very open-ended in my book as to whoever wants to potentially participate in the show. I also treat it like an opportunity, and so I do, in a way, jury it. But with both of these schools, I wanted to be conscious of the opportunity that was being provided, and so I was pretty conscious about trying to let every student who was putting a piece forth to at least have a piece in the show. So the jurying process was more about, for me, in the most part, was eliminating, like, if somebody applied with four pieces or put four pieces in, we're knocking it down to two pieces or something like that.
Okay.
So
yeah, curating it that way.
Yeah.
Were you part of that process, Kim, as well?
Yeah, I was there while they were juring. I kicked all the kids out so that they wouldn't hear any comments or anything. But it was interesting. You know, I agree. Like, there's something to be said about having the ability to be shown in a space that's like this. And so, you know, you have, you know, Candace, who spent, you know, the entire year on just this massive mixed media piece that honestly looks a lot like you.
Self-portrait.
Ramona, who I think, you put in five pieces, I think, and, you know, two that you didn't quite get done. And so trying to figure out, like, where is the level, you know, that we're creating equality across was interesting. And, you know, we have the student art exhibition that we do in May. You know, every single thing that they make makes it. And so it was interesting because the pottery class shares a classroom with Art One, who had just finished all of their mugs. And so they all got bisque fired. They're all thinking about glazing, and I have some kids that are, you know, itching at that, and they're asking about the Clay Center's exhibition, and they're like, you know, can I get in? Does everything get in? And it's like, no, not everything gets in. And they're like, what? But what if somebody worked really, really hard on it? And like, well, so this is part of the art world, is just because you work really hard on it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, and giving them an opportunity to kind of understand bigger art world other than just you made it, it's fabulous kind of responses.
Well, it might be fabulous.
Well, they mostly are, but it's you know, that in terms of getting it into a professional exhibition, you know, that's kind of a different story. There has to be some sort of cut at some point.
Wow, what a cool experience to get to have. I don't think I had anything like that when I was in high school. Did you have that kind of thing, Matt? No,
in a way, but not the same. The closest thing I had was they had like a Scholastic awards type show, and every year I'd apply for it and it would get juried kind of thing. And one year I got a piece in, and but it wasn't, there was no real interaction. You know, it was an application you submitted online, sent photos in, you never met a person. You know, like, it was just, here you go. And then you send it off. So,
wow. You guys are lucky to have that kind of personal connection. And with, you know, the Carbondale Clay Center, they have a reach to like the whole nation with artists coming in for residency programs and teaching opportunities and all kinds of stuff. Yeah. It's a cool thing you guys do. You have two opening receptions. One's tonight. And that's just for one of the high schools? Is that for both high schools?
It's for both high schools. Cool. I'm interacting with, like, so tonight there'll be two students from Roaring Fork High School and two students from Basalt High School.
Gotcha.
That will be there. It's And I wanted to just continue to have like the opportunity. So we'll have the same situation for April 4th,
mm-hmm.
But it'll be two different students from Roaring Fork High School, mm-hmm. two different students from Basalt High School.
Gotcha.
And it's also, you know, we want to have the turnout. We want to really promote this show,
mm-hmm.
something that.
Well, there's a lot of works in there. I imagine if the students are bringing family and friends, then you would fill the space up in no time.
That's the hope.
Yeah. Candace and Ramona, anything in particular you're looking forward to this evening? Are you speaking? Are you the ones presenting tonight at all?
I'm one of the students that's presenting tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Anything you're looking forward to? Do you have? Is your piece for sale? I forgot to ask that.
The Queen? Absolutely not. Uh-huh. I thought about it for a while, and I spent like so much time and effort. I can't bear to like part with it.
That's the other thing about when you make a piece of art that you're really connected to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to sell it. Yeah. How about you, Ramona? Anything you're looking forward to this evening? A big reception.
I'm also speaking tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
Just excited to like see people who are looking at my art.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, art admirers. It takes a village. You can't just have the art makers. You have to have the art appreciators in the room too. Well, thank you all for coming in. How can people learn more about this show and the Clay Center and all that?
CarbondaleClay.org. Our Instagram as well. We've been promoting this show. Facebook too. I mean, like, but come into the show. Where office hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, 11 to 4 on Saturday. Give us a call, shoot us an email, however you'd like to connect. The show will be up until, if I recall correctly, it's April 12th.
Okay.
So.
Good. Yeah. Nice long run.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Candace and Ramona, for coming in. Good luck tonight. Have fun. And we'll take you out with some music.
Sunshine, my morning rays. You are what brightens all my days. And if I look for you inside myself, I'll find the true meaning of my highest wealth. I take care of my body, I believe in my dreams, nurture the seeds I sow them consciously. I walk upon the earth with my bare feet, sitting still in nature, I observe quietly. The in-breath, the out-breath, the song in the breeze, the fluid dance of the limbs on the trees. If I pay attention to what goes on within me, I realize all I've sought outside has been with me constantly. Sunshine, my morning rays. You are what brightens all my days. And if I look for you inside myself, I'll find the true meaning of my highest wealth.
I am a farmer of the heart with ease and flow and grace. I play rising to the sun. Meditation starts my day. Blessed hummingbird, come and sing to me. Remind me of your ancient song that plays.
All right, thanks for keeping it tuned here to KDNK. Let's see if I've got our next guest on the line. Are you there, Kirsty?
I am here, Brian.
Hey, it worked out. What do you know? Push the right buttons and magic things happen.
That's a good thing.
Thanks for joining us on the show today via phone. I know you're out of town, but I appreciate you making time for this interview here on KDNK.
Anything for you.
thanks. Let's see. The title of your solo show that's up now at Carbondale Arts is Where the Wild Things Live. It's up through April 4th, so a few more weeks to enjoy that. It's up alongside another solo show in the gallery by Rachel Becker called Cosmic Compost. I thought maybe before we dive into your show, I'd love to have you share a little bit about your background as a creative maker. Just curious about that history of you being an artist. Were you making artworks as a kid? How did you kind of get into the art-making life?
Well, I do remember my first piece in kindergarten made out of clay, and my mother loved it.
Aww.
So I knew it was time to continue.
That's amazing. We just had some students here from the high school here who are part of a show at the Clay Center, and they've been making clay things. But to start in kindergarten, that's amazing, too.
It is pretty neat. I think all kids should learn some art from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I've always loved to draw throughout all my classes in high school and not listen to the teachers. Then I started, I learned how to airbrush in graphic arts at CMC long before computers.
Right.
Then I started airbrushing underwater fish. I learned how to scuba dive. My father took pictures and we worked together.
Wow. Like airbrushing, like
all of that. I'm sorry.
Oh, was that like airbrushing like paintings of fish? How did that?
Large paintings of undersea fish.
Wow. Very cool. Okay, great.
Yeah. And then I had a break there for a while. Ended up buying some property and learning how to grow apples. I bought an old orchard and refurbished it. Once things started to settle down with that, I decided to get back into art.
Beautiful. Yeah, I know you have the Orchard Creek Ranch just outside of Glenwood there. I got to visit that when we did a quick studio visit with you about a month ago now, I guess. Beautiful property. I know you've got a few different varieties of apples growing there, and you have a crew that I think does some hemp products and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things.
Yeah, we dabble in a lot, and I tell you that hemp really helps the pain. I need some right now.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful property. And how did that kind of history of going through CMC and some commercial artworks, and now you've got this show of kind of sculptural work, which is, it's not like ceramics clay, but what's it called again? It's like an air dry
clay, yeah. A puffy clay,
yeah.
Plaster, mixed medium of a lot of materials like that, basically, that I have learned to figure out how to work them together.
Mm-hmm.
Because some items will shrink quicker than others, which will create cracking when you put two different properties together.
Yeah, the whole process of learning and getting to know your materials really well. That's a process. I get that. I know for this show.
For me.
Yeah. I know for this show, you're also exploring your passion for the environment and wondering if you can talk about some of those themes that came up for you when you're proposing this show to Carbondale Arts. And I also know you mentioned in your artist talk at the opening reception at the end of February, some thoughts about like plastic accumulation and garbage and how animals are interacting with that and in nature. Can you talk
sure.
about, a little bit about that?
Well, as I'm sure most people have seen, they've probably seen birds maybe living in a nest of twine and plastics perhaps with the wood that they usually build a nest with, or other animals living in not their natural environment, but environments that they grab things from our world and pull into their world to make homes with.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of fascinated me. And, of course, it's a shame we're seeing so much, you know, as everybody knows, it's a shame to see so much trash everywhere. Part of it, I believe, is because of commodities and the will, the want to make so much money.
People, right.
People compete with each other to make the best product, so that makes more and more of the same product. People buy it, then it becomes more trash. Hmm. And then there's so much of it that doesn't get sold, which, like clothing, becomes trash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it ends up out in the environment where animals live, even in the ocean. So there's, you know, fish and turtles getting wrapped up in things or trying to, or birds, like you said, are grabbing things to make nests out of. Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you've incorporated some of that into the works in this show. I also appreciated, go for it.
I was just going to say, like the animals living in the old stoplights.
Yeah.
Building their nest, including spiders.
Yep.
one of my reasons I did that is because I did have an old stoplight, and it was in the barn, and I decided I wanted to refurbish it, plug it in, make it work. Hmm. As we opened it up, there was a mouse nest.
Oh, wow.
In the bottom light, and then the top light was a black widow's nest.
Fun.
So
never
that's kind of where that piece came from, was that exact thing.
Wow. Yeah, and this one you've got like a little chipmunk in the bottom part of the light with some, I guess he's making a nest out of some stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pieces like that. I'd love for you to pick out one or two more works in this show to describe for folks listening. Do you have a favorite piece in this show, or maybe something that sticks out in your mind that you want to share for the radio audience?
Well, one of my favorite is probably the swan that is actually coming out of basically a hard canvas.
Mm-hmm.
His neck comes out of it, and he's drinking from a 1954 Ford Hubcat. And I've added plastic, you know, like a two-part epoxy water in there with a turtle and fish and moonlight on it and water dripping off of the swan's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, to me, that is just so classic of where you'll see any kind of animal drinking out of whatever they can find because of the climate change.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So wherever they can find water, they find it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful piece. I think we used that on the postcard for the show. It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Boy, there's so many other ones.
Yeah, so many to choose from.
What else was a good one? Well, one is also the little tiny birds in nests in the wire hanging from a piece of wood.
Oh, yeah.
Off of the wall. And that just strikes me as these poor little birds were made into their nests before they hatched, were put into this cupped wire, and then they became trapped where that wire closed up on them.
Hmm.
And they're like reaching out with their mouths open, looking for mom so they could get fed.
Yeah.
Where it's probably not possible.
Yeah, that's a striking piece. I also like, as you walk in the gallery, one of the first sculptures you see are two birds sitting on a wire together. Mm-hmm. And I love something I really appreciate about your work, especially after getting to see the sculptures up close, is your dedication to the amount of detail you're able to get from this air dry clay and the other media you're using and the different textures you have going on. It does a really good job of replicating the natural environment and feel. Like those birds, their tail feathers are made out of like denim blue jeans Can you talk about that process?
Shredded on the edges, right?
Yeah, yeah. How do you get that texture just from shredding the jeans?
Well, I sat around and shredded along pieces of blue jeans. made shreds probably about an inch long on each side with just the blue jean down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I probably went through 3 or 4 tries on that one. Eventually hardening it with some clay and painting them black. So they're very shiny, and they look very much like a feather texture to them.
Yeah, you definitely don't.
Pretty fun.
You don't see the denim at first glance. I like when people come in, I like pointing that out because it's a little aha moment for people coming in. Can you also talk about the octopus in the room?
Okay. Yeah, that one is, that was my last piece, and that became, and actually that is a puffy clay.
Okay, yeah.
Which is kind of like a marshmallow when you're using a marshmallow texture. And it will not take very good imprints of anything. When you carve into it, it doesn't stay because it expands.
Gotcha.
So it worked well for the octopus. I had to obviously add some other clay for the tentacles, but it has money all over it, and it has the dots on it are made of fake money cut up.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lovely top hat on it, because it's called, help me there.
Oh, the Tentacle Tycoon.
Tentacle Tycoon, right, yes. So, and that is part of my statement of people making too much products, although they're different companies making the same products.
Sure.
Trying to beat the other guy, trying to sell more.
Yeah.
Thus, the overpopulation of whatever they built or made or trying to sell.
Yeah. The life of the tycoon, just kind of helping themselves and not using their money to go towards, you know, helping the environment or people in need or something like that. The tycoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, it's a very whimsical and fun show. And for anyone who hasn't seen it yet or visited the Carbondale Arts Gallery, I feel like there's something for everyone to enjoy there. And so appreciate all your hard work bringing those pieces to life. I know it's quite a process from when you propose a show for the gallery, and then when you bring it all in. There's so much work that goes on behind the scenes that I think a lot of people don't get to appreciate. And I'm glad you are part of this round of exhibitions at Carbondale Art. So thanks for all the hard work there, Kirsty.
And I really appreciate it. And I have realized how much work you all put into it as well.
Yeah, some behind the scenes.
You're very patient with your artists, too.
That's part of the gig. Getting to work with a lot of great creative people in and around the valley. It's a fun job. I'm lucky to get to do that at Carbondale Arts.
Yeah, now that it's all hung, I'm just thrilled with it.
Yay.
It was a hard step getting there, but worth every hour of work.
Aw. Well, hopefully people listening, come check out this show. It's up. Where the Wild Things Live is up at Carbondale Arts now through April 4th. We're open weekdays from 10 to 5. We'll also have something going on for the closing reception on First Friday, April 4th. So lots of opportunities to check it out. Well, Kirsty, thanks so much again for taking time. I know you're out of town on a trip, but thanks for checking in here with Katie and Kay and spreading the word about what you do. And Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, and thank you very much, Brian. Yeah. And I hope to see a lot of people there checking out my work. I feel like it's very different than most people's work. I've really not seen much like it at all.
Well, it's bringing a lot of smiles to faces when people come through the door. So you're brightening people's days left and right. All right. Thanks, Kirsty. We'll see you when you get back into town. Happy Friday.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Yep, you too. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
daughter of the race of Cain. I am not a stranger to the rain. Orphan in the storm, that's a role I've played before. I've learned not to tremble. I just play the hand I'm dealt, and when they lighten up the rations, I tighten up my belt. I won't say I've never felt the pain, but I am not a stranger to the rain. And for the boy who's given me the sweetest love I've known, I wish for him another love so he won't be alone. But I am bound to walk among the wounded and the slain. And when the storm comes crashing on the plain, I will dance before the lightning to music sacred and profane. Oh, shed no tears.
All right. Thanks for keeping it tuned here to KDNK on Express Yourself. Happy Friday again. Here we have special guests from the Aspen Choral Society. Why don't I have you both just introduce yourselves and say hi?
I'm Lisa Curran, president of the Aspen Choral Society.
Thanks,
and
Lisa.
I am Katie Hone-Wilchin. I'm one of the singers, and I'm singing in the upcoming production.
Yeah. Aspen Choral Society performing a work called Children of Eden, which is coming up next weekend, I believe. Is that right? March 21st?
21st, right. 22nd, yes. And 23rd. Weekend.
Still the 14th. Whew. Still mid-March. We're not like all the way through March. Before we jump into what the show's about, Children of Eden, I'd love to have you share some background and history of the Aspen Choral Society. Just for those who may not know much about what you guys do, I know... the Choral Society has been around for a long time and it's a nonprofit. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the organization is all about and how you got started?
Absolutely. So Aspen Choral Society actually started as a couple of different community chorus groups that eventually merged into one. And Aspen Choral Society itself as an entity will be celebrating our 49th anniversary when we perform Messiah this coming December.
Right. Oh, yeah, the Messiah. So that's the Aspen Choral Society.
Same group.
So almost 50 years.
Wow. Do you have something planned in the works for the 50th?
We have lots of things in the works, yeah. So you'll hear more about that in the future.
Okay, great. Have you both been part of the Aspen Choral Society for a while?
We both have in different times. I've been with the group now, I think, 8 or 9 years. And
great.
not quite sure how I wound up in the role of president, but that's okay. I guess I like to do things,
yeah.
Get things done.
Yeah,
I've been singing with the group on and off since about 2005.
Wow.
I moved here at the end of 2004 and got pulled in really quickly into being a soloist in the ensemble, and have just kind of sung with them on and off. I had babies and couldn't sing for a couple of years and then came back, and it's just such a pleasure to be involved in the ensemble.
That's a really long time.
It is
like
a long time.
20 years or so, right?
Yeah.
How do people get involved if they're interested in joining the Choral Society? Do you have auditions, or is it like kind of open?
So we are not only the only large scale community choral group in the entire Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. We also do not require auditions.
Wow. Okay.
We have what we call an open door policy. If you want to sing, come join us.
That's great.
We do ask people to register. We ask people to attend rehearsals. Mm-hmm. We do have some rehearsal requirements, especially for those who need to learn how to do choral singing effectively.
And right. part of the rehearsal really is choral singing education, which is kind of a nice benefit for folks who've never had the opportunity to do that, or maybe those of us who did it in school years ago but haven't had the chance.
Is that different than other kinds of singing, like a choral? What kind of education do you give people when they join?
Breathing techniques, how to count a beat and cut off at the same time.
Right.
It actually matters. We don't like unintended solos.
Yeah,
things like unified vowels and good choral blend between sections and and how to make a vowel sound the most beautiful if you're singing, not just as a soloist, but as a whole group and how to modify that vowel to make it right. There's so many really detailed technique things that go into choral singing or just in singing in general. And I do a lot of choral conducting as well. And so getting to be in this group with such a broad span of people in terms of their musical ability and their musical experience, but to have everybody be able to come together into a unified ensemble is a really powerful process.
We also have a lot of people ask, I don't read music. How can I come sing with you guys?
Yeah.
You don't have to read music. We actually have a lot of tools available for people to learn the music by ear, if that's how they sing.
Oh, very cool.
And because it is a community choral group, we really stress the importance of community, not only the broader community outside of the group, but also within the group, helping each other. It's a supportive, safe environment. Mm-hmm. Nobody's expected to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. How many members do you have currently or about? I don't know how large the group actually is.
You know, it ranges. We have anywhere from 60 to 100 singers, depending on the season and the concert.
Yeah.
So for this concert, I think we're at about 60 to 65 right now. And then we have over a dozen musicians that will be on stage, and not our typical orchestra.
Oh, really?
We have a couple of guitarists, three keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What three else? Keyboards, electric bass, French horn, cello, drum set, plus percussion. It's just a really cool ensemble and some phenomenal instrumentalists. Just kind of if you handpick some of the top players in the valley, that's who's going to be in this pit, and it's great.
There's so much talent. I mean, I talk a lot with visual artists on this show, but the amount of creative people working in music is astounding in this
It's one of the things we love about Aspen Choral Society is that provides an opportunity not only for amateur singers like myself, but also for professional musicians to have a place to come and showcase their talents also.
Oh, that's an amazing way to collaborate with all kinds of people. Let's talk about the upcoming performance of Children of Eden. I did read a little bit about the storyline and know it's based on like the book of Genesis in the Bible, I think. Is that the right one I looked up? Hopefully.
It is.
But like
it is
loosely
based. Yeah. And so it's really in two different acts. Act one is the story of Adam and Eve and their family and their experiences.
Children of Eden.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, you got it. And then act two is based on Noah and his wife and their children and their larger family. And so it's less about the biblical story and more about the story of their own community and their own family and how they kind of interact as family members and what that means to be part of a family. Mm-hmm. It's just a really beautiful kind of universal felt story. It's like emotionally wrenching and gorgeous, and the music is really lush and beautiful and emotionally challenging, I think.
Yeah.
It's just one of my favorite musical theater pieces.
You kind of mentioned some things, but how did the Choral Society decide to focus on this story? I mean, you probably, if you're in your 49th year, you've focused on so many different stories, but I do know that this the music and lyrics are by Stephen Schwartz.
Mm-hmm. Who's the same guy that wrote Wicked.
Yeah.
And
really
Pippin.
Popular right now, Pippin and Godspell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's impressive alone. But was there something that just kind of struck out to you? Lisa, were you the one that kind of chooses, or is it kind of a group decision?
Actually, our music director, Paul Dankers, makes those choices.
I know,
and
Paul
has been with us now for, I think this is his 11th or 12th year with Aspen Choral Society.
Great.
We try to use the spring concert as an opportunity to raise topics of importance to our community.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we were focused on water and what that means to a community.
Yeah, that's right. I remember
and so
that.
This year, the if you were to, as a former English major, the underlying theme, I think, of this is really about choices and consequences of choices in this context with this mythology based on free will.
Cool. Wow.
It's a beautiful show. When I was the choir and band director at Basalt High School years ago, we did this. And actually, Paul Dankers was the music director with me. And then Micha, Paul's husband, was the stage director and choreographer. And so it's a piece that we did years ago in 2014 and we've all just really loved the show ever since. And so when I heard that Aspen Choral Society was planning it for this spring, it was like a big, exciting coming home kind of moment.
Yeah, full circle right there.
It's been a big challenge because we're trying to figure out how to convey that story and all of that emotion without the backdrop of the grandeur of a performance and without the set and without the full theatrical piece and all that goes with it.
So was this like a Broadway production?
So it actually never was on Broadway.
Okay.
It never made it to Broadway, but it is essentially Broadway show. It's a musical theater show that could be on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing this as a semi-staged concert production. So semi-staged in that there is staging and a little bit of choreography, but it's not fully staged in scenes and entrances and exits and big sets.
Right.
And
that makes sense.
We'll still have the traditional choir on the risers on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie, what's your role this round? I know you said you've got a solo part.
Well, I'm playing Eve.
Okay.
As in Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve in the first act, which is really fun.
Yeah.
She goes through a pretty amazing transformation from being this child who's totally clueless and amazed by everything that's happening in the Garden of Eden to choosing to eat the apple and being banished from the Garden of Eden and having a family of her own and figuring out how to work within the banishment from the garden and then have her family survive. So it's just a very cool process. And then in the second act, I'm a wife of one of the sons of Noah.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that to both of you just kind of has struck you working with this story that I don't know that you kind of want to bring out or at least share with the listeners today just about this story? I don't know, just something that you are taking to heart or want to just be sure that the audience takes with them when they're hearing the performance.
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think when I did this show in 2014, I responded to it very differently than I do now in 2025. And I don't know if that's because of where we are politically with the idea of choice or if that's because I now have children who are growing my own. When I was doing this in 2014, I had a 2-year-old and I was pregnant with our second.
Wow.
Now I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And so it's totally different life stages for my kids and my family. And so I think I feel this story so differently now as a mom with kind of kids that are getting bigger and I'm seeing them make their own choices. And so I think the piece that is resonating most for me in this is the importance of allowing your children to discover who they are and make their own choices for themselves, realizing that I birth them, I put them out there into the world, and that's really all I have to give, that everything else is kind of up to them in this idea of free will. And so I'm responding to this so differently now at this point in my life. But Lisa?
I think you hit the nail on the head for me as well. Even though I don't have children of my own, I have had many children and still have many in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an adult, we're all children. At some point, we were all children of parents. And so we can come at that story from that perspective as well, not only from the parent perspective of what is it to make choices that maybe your parent or society has a difference of opinion with.
Right.
And how do you navigate through that?
Those are great revelations right there. It's very cool. Yeah, like a personal connection that you have right there.
Yeah, Katie. Exactly.
So you've got 3 performances of Children of Eden coming starting next Friday, the 21st. Tell us about how to find you and get tickets and all that good stuff.
We are very easy to find. www.aspenchoralsociety.org.
Nice.
And tickets can be purchased there. Our performance on Saturday night is at the Wheeler Opera House in Aspen.
Oh,
and
great.
So tickets can also be purchased through their website. Friday night, the first performance is in Glenwood Springs. And Sunday night's performance
is at Basalt Middle School.
Wow. So everywhere, like opportunities for everyone to enjoy and partake.
Glenwood, then Aspen, then Basalt, all through the valley.
Oh, beautiful.
I really hope people can come and just enjoy a couple of hours of immense beauty and thoughtfulness and community building.
I love that. Yeah.
If nobody's ever heard any of Stephen Schwartz's music, although I don't know how you can't with Wicked everywhere right now.
Right.
It's some pretty amazing music. Very powerful and moving. It's mm-hmm. worth coming out to see.
And yeah. fun. Some of it's super fun too. Powerful and moving and emotional, but like also really fun.
There is definitely a thread of humor through all of the lyrics in these songs.
Humor's good these days. I like that.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Hopefully those listening will jump on those tickets and enjoy some Aspen Choral Society of Children of Eden.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian.
Happy Friday. In LA, you down low and easy. In the love spot you kiss, we'll say Christmas. In the miles that you travel the distance. Leave no lies. Dry your eyes and realize fast. La 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 la. Talking numbers, and the princess will wake up from her slumber, and all the knights will step forth with their armbands, and every stranger you meet in the street will make demands. All right, we're about a minute out from NPR, but wanted to just highlight a few things coming up this weekend. I know there's a... Wow, is there a contra dance? First of all, Spring Gulch has a send-off at Mountain Heart Brewing in the Carbondale location. They've got music by Sweet Jessup and the Dirty Buckets from 5 to 7 p.m. Let's see. We've got Jerry Seinfeld coming to the Aspen Laugh Festival. That is coming on Saturday at the Wheeler Opera House. That's exciting. There's a contra dance at the Carbondale Community School Saturday. There's a tutorial starting at 7:30. It goes from 8 to 10. And I was going to skip down to something happening on Sunday. If you're in Carbondale, you come in onto the launch pad. Rachel Becker is an artist in the gallery. She's also a death doula, and she's hosting a community grief ritual from 1 to 3. It's by donation. You just need to bring an item that represents your grief for something or someone you are mourning for a collective altar. So check it out, carbondalearts.com. Happy Friday. See you next week.